Yeah, so I'm like, if that's what.
Okay, welcome everybody. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Before we start today's meeting, however, we would like to take a moment to acknowledge that October 1st and 2nd marks Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. It is a solemn time of reflection, atonement, and renewal. We recognize and respect those in our community, commission, and colleagues who are observing this sacred day. May it be a meaningful time of peace, forgiveness, and spiritual growth for all who observe. As we conduct our work today, let us do so with an awareness of the diverse faiths, traditions, and observances that enrich our shared civic life. The Commission on Equitable Housing and Development meeting has now commenced. It is October 2nd at about 4:10 p.m., I think. This is a hybrid meeting, so we are in person at the Primavera Works Center, as well as have people joining us online. We ask that you mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number, to unmute to speak, dial star six on your phone and only use the chat function to request to speak. Also, to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio. So I will now call the roll. Maggie Amato-Tellez.
Present.
Mindy Bernstein is absent. Vicky Cusino, also absent. Logan Havens, I do not see him online at this point.
Yeah, I haven't seen him yet, but I can let you know once he joins.
Okay, thank you. Sorian Duarte is out. Lori Meserbo.
Present.
Anne Miskey.
Present.
Robert Ojeda.
Present.
Tisha Tallman. Not here. Alan Sala.
Present.
Jim Kopel is absent. Ray Winch.
Present.
Kenny Wong. Jay Young, that is me. I am here, and we have eight, so we have a quorum. Now I would like for us to approve the meeting minutes. Are there any edits or anything that we need to do for the meeting minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the September meeting minutes. We have a motion from Maggie. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Robert. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? All right. The meeting minutes are approved. So today, just a quick review of the agenda. We're going to do a call to the audience. Then we are going to present and discuss the action plans that we've been working on regarding homelessness. We're anticipating that will take 50 minutes or so. Then we'll talk about how to approach and present the recommendations that we approved to mayor and council. It's about 15 minutes. And then the last big thing that we'll talk about today is the path forward for CEHD. So now that we've dealt with the homelessness issue as we identify, where do we want to go from here? I think we can touch base on the subcommittees and kind of how those are working, and then just in general, what we want to tackle next and how we want to go about doing that. And basically, we'll wrap up, and that will be it for the day of the meeting. At this point, I would like to do a call to the audience. The call to the audience is limited to 3 minutes per speaker and a total of 10 minutes. All speakers must share their name to be recorded in the meeting minutes. And please remember, the call to the audience may not result in discussion with members of CEHD. No legal action may take place during the call to the audience, and speakers may not be disruptive. CEHD members may only respond to criticism and request that items be placed on a future agenda for discussion. Members of the audience may still participate on agenda items as per the bylaws of CDHD. With that, is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak?
We have three attendees online, but no hands raised yet. Oh, we have Bob Delaney. Have him. You should be able to unmute yourself now, Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Sure. I just wanted to call to the commission your attention to the fact that there'll be a housing resource fair coming up on November 15th at the Donna Liggins Center from 9 a.m. till noon. It's sponsored by jointly by the NAACP and the City of Tucson, and we'll be reaching out in the next upcoming weeks with the flyer and invitations to many of you and your organizations to participate. So just save the date, if you will, Saturday, November 15th, Donna Liggins Center, 9 a.m. to noon. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Anybody else in the audience that would like to speak? Okay, hearing none, we will move to the next agenda item. Which is presenting and discussing the action plans that we've been working on in our subcommittees. And if y'all remember, obviously we've been working on these for the past few months, and we have had a chance to look over them. They've been out for a while, and we have Brian with us today to help facilitate the discussion to go over the plans and approve them, or you know, kind of figure out what we want to do in terms of getting recommendations to mayor and council. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, Brian.
Great. And Matt, good evening, everybody. Good to see you. Yeah, so for folks, just a quick introduction, because I don't know everybody here. So my name is Brian Manwaring. I'm with Southwest Decision Resources. So my journey with the commission started, when was the mini retreat? May?
March.
March, thank you. That's how good my memory is these days.
People serve them.
Yeah, March. Earlier this year, 2025, something like that. Yeah, so it's a nice bookend because that's when we started this journey with the action plans for the subcommittees and coming up with these recommendations. So this is most likely my last meeting with the commission. So yeah, the intention for today is to re-review the recommendations that have come out of the subcommittees, try to work through what a recommendation or a suite of recommendation or whatever this looks like, because I think there's room to create here. I don't think it's straightforward on exactly what this is going to look like coming out of this discussion. So really quick, a couple logistical notes before we get started with that. You all have agenda packets in front of you that includes the action plan. So right after the meeting minutes from the last meeting, you'll see first the affordable housing one, then the equitable housing strategies one. So we'll quick, you know, we have some slides that cover these as well, but those will be helpful references for you. Also, just to note, we don't have any breaks planned, so please, if you need to grab a drink, use the restroom, please feel free to do that sometime within the next 2 hours or after, whatever you choose. That's your business. So, okay. All right. So with that, let's do the report outs. Really, we're focused on, and in the agenda, I put not necessarily the action plan report outs, but report outs of the recommendations. So really focusing on really those you know, where the rub is, what you'd be looking for, what you'd like to propose to mayor and council. We're going to, within this context, within this discussion, we'll you know, also talk about what a good recommendation could look like from the city's perspective, you know, just in terms of what makes sense. We'll add some criteria to the mix to help some considerations. Criteria is a pretty strong word, but some considerations on what might make a good recommendation. So we'll sort of guide this discussion. But again, just to let you know, we're starting with sort of a broad set of raw materials, and the idea is to kind of whittle that down into recommendations for mayor and council around homelessness. So with that, let's start with presentation of these, of the outcomes, the outputs from the subcommittees. So, and so I'm not sure where to start with this, Jay, because this would have been Jim's report out for affordable housing. So who might walk us through this?
first one.
Not me, no.
Was anybody, or are you on the affordable?
Yeah.
And I just to give you a heads up too, so on these slides, I put the objectives, the outcomes, and the recommendation, the action plan. So that's helpful for you.
Okay. Just reviewing this, I guess the objectives is that, you know, if we remember these meetings now, reducing the number of incidents of people entering homelessness, so like from the very beginning, right? Recreating living situations for people who are experiencing homelessness, who have mental illness and substance abuse conditions. I think it's like, I think the discussion was around like the Housing First model should have the wraparound services, but often does not. So like really thinking that. And then talking about the financial burden to owners, you know, who oftentimes, and this is actually my experience with you know, doing a partnership with Access where, you know, we had a lot of damage and never got reimbursed for that. So, you know, and I think that that may be something where, you know, owners, landlords might not have, you know, have that same similar experience. Zoning, changes in zoning because of, you know, shelter, you know, whatever, right? Those zoning requirements. And of course, you know, more housing, more options. So is this what you wanted me to do, is kind of explain it?
Yeah, I would go through, because I think what is most pertinent to this conversation are these first three sections. So you just did objectives, then the desired outcomes.
And then engagement, training, and then. So desired outcomes, obviously more money, obviously it relates to again, prevention, and also providing the services and the wraparound services. And this was Mary Ann's, you know, and I'm not sure I understood it, but creating a new brand of communal communities with private quarters that focus specifically on recovering from mental illness and substance abuse for no less than 30 to 150 days. Temporary housing or treatment, removing barriers in order to allow available sources to assist individuals with mental illness and other severe issues, you know, removing the requirement of being sober, families, all of the, you know, those types of criteria oftentimes make it difficult. And I think somebody said it's last meeting that it's oftentimes, I think Jimmy said, or it was said in here, how do you help somebody that doesn't want help? And it's not necessarily that they don't want help, but that we're not offering the help that they want or need. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And then, of course, you know, zoning changes to facilitate this type of housing. So the next thing is tasks and timely. Is this what? So, yes. I don't know. Is this the second page? This is not mine, right?
No.
So obviously, increasing the number of beds in emergency shelters, and you know, again, dependent on the point in time count. Reviewing the housing needs assessment to determine best uses, which will be done at the end of the year, if that's so. And then identify zoning needs to allow for shelters to be built in more locations. And apparently for zoning, there are very few options for shelters, like as far as zoning goes. And then identifying zoning needs to allow for affordable housing to be built in more locations. And I feel it's going. Create a functional centralized database and coordinated entry to track homelessness and services. Identify a permanent annual source to fund the city of Tucson's housing trust. Again, money is the biggest issue, right? So it's always trying to identify, as the government should have, trying to identify, you know, recurring and stable funding. And that's always going to be the biggest challenge. So I think that's what it goes. Oh, and then the last one is establish a PR campaign to educate the public or homelessness issues. And that is something that we started talking kind of philosophically, you know, talking about, you know, when you go down the street and you see someone who is living on the street and they're, panhandling or whatever, that, a lot of us just kind of are, we don't want to see it. And oftentimes there's a lot of misunderstanding as to who is out there. And I want, we were just discussing if maybe, we should do some kind of a PR campaign. It really worked to, get people to stop smoking. Could it be a way to address this? And it's also just the overwhelming need, the overwhelming, the visual. I mean, everyone sees this, and how do we humanize it in a way that is, people aren't just looking at the garbage and the mess and, the poor people, nodding off and, they're on drugs and da da da. I think it's, it would be a good idea somehow, maybe nine. But I think that's it.
All right. Thank you. Did anybody else working with that group, do you want to add anything?
I think I'm it. Oh, no, Kimmy over there. No, no, that's yeah.
All right.
Come on,
Katie. Any questions for Maggie or about these? All right. So let's move on to the next piece, which is equitable housing strategies. So this is you, today, correct?
Yeah. So the recommendations that we came up with really were. Presented by Keith Bentley and Zachary Simmons from the University of Arizona. They did a lot of great research and have, presented that to us. And so we basically just kind of took that and adopted those as our recommendations. But and we weren't as quite as specific as Jim's group, but the first one that we had was that there's a lack of a coordinated system. And we've talked about this a lot of times. That, there needs to be collaboration so that folks kind of maybe have a one-stop place to go to understand what resources are available at any given time. This is kind of along the same lines, but access to information, right? I mean, the fact that there's not a coordinated system often makes it hard to access the information and figure out what resources are available. So again, centralizing that, and having a quote unquote no wrong door referral system. So, however you are tapping into the system, you are able to get to the right place. I know at least at Southwest Fair Housing Council, we talked to people who, called five other agencies previously and, are frustrated. And that once you call one, you don't get to any of the others. You have to make more calls. So I think that's kind of the idea of a no wrong door referral system. Obviously, there are resource shortages, and many households are excluded. So providing information on the likelihood of service and expand supportive diversion options like home sharing or community housing, and then add more navigators and emergency housing programs. So again, I think at least from our perspective and my perspective, we know a lot of things that work. But we know that the reason that more people don't have access to them is just because there's not enough resources, not enough funding. Exits from institutions. So folks often become homeless if after leaving hospitals, treatment centers, jails, prisons, that kind of thing. So we want to implement better screening, exit planning, and reentry supports. Again, with housing stability navigators assigned to high-risk individuals so that folks aren't floundering on their own or, just kind of leaving an institution kind of straight onto the streets with no resources. Again, underfunding is an issue. We recommend pursuing local funding mechanisms to supplant state and federal support. This could be the Housing Trust Fund, which the previous group mentioned is needing a regular and reliable funding source. It's kind of along the same lines as well, but, there are lots of diverse needs out there. So folks are coming into housing insecurity in different ways. So we need a diverse data-driven prevention strategies that respond to these needs, things like financial crises, healthcare challenges, domestic violence, et cetera. And then the last of our recommendation is There's an affordable housing shortage, obviously, and all of these prevention efforts are hindered by the lack of affordable housing. So investing more in affordable housing, which we've talked about lots and lots and lots as a group previously. So that is basically what we came up with.
All right. I have a question, and maybe it's for both of you. As you had these conversations, did you talk about prioritizing these strategies or suggestions or facing them? Was that part of the discussion at all?
We did not.
We did not either. I'm trying to remember if we actually prioritized it in that order, but I don't think so.
It's definitely something I think we could do.
So that could be something for today, or
especially where we are like saying the same thing.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely some crossover.
Like money.
Yeah. There, one thing I did want to revisit really quickly, back on the affordable housing recommendations. So I watched the video from the last meeting. So that second to last one, identify a permanent annual source for the city's housing trust fund. That was, you guys proved that to go into the recommendation for the housing trust fund. Is that true?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So just to note that. And then, yeah, let me see if there's any other questions or if anybody that worked with Jay on this wants to add anything to the discussion. And Alan and Ray, I can see you online too. If you have anything to add, just raise your hand. Okay. All right. So next was in just touching on this because I heard this last month, Jay, that Housing First had recommendation. Is this, did I capture this right?
About
sanctioned camping sites?
Yep.
Which has already been at least enacted in some way.
Yeah, I believe there's a site that is opening on
plant, right?
On a grant.
October 15th.
October. Really?
Yeah.
What are the, I know that there are limitations to that site as well. It's pretty small and it do you know more about that, Anne?
Yeah, it is intended to serve up to 25 women and or anyone who identifies as a woman. And that's a 1-year pilot. So as it's been described in the media, it's going to be a 1-year pilot. And during the public meeting, there was discussion of, you know, if, assuming it goes well, the goal would be to create more of these around the city, kind of a smaller scale model.
Well, if you know what, were they coming?
For this first one. Yeah.
Other questions before we keep moving?
Out of curiosity for that, is it a funding restriction or just kind of establishment?
And I'll say, so unfortunately, Tisha's not here. Tisha and OPCS have been kind of the primary folks, and the city's just kind of helping in the back with infrastructure. So I think they're better to speak on it. But the sense I have, it's a little bit of both. Funding and trying to kind of see how it goes with this first one before it's, I mean, of course, the Phoenix one is very large with a lot of infrastructure. And so the goal here was seeing what we could do with the current available resources.
Okay, it looks like Anne has her hand raised and Miski has her hand raised in, as well as Alan.
Go ahead, Anne.
Miski, Anne.
And if you're speaking, we can't hear you. So I'm off mute. Is she able to?
I put in a request. I like requested her to unmute.
Well, why don't we?
It's like Alan just tried to unmute.
Yeah. Why don't we go to Alan and come back to Anna? Alan, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I just had a question for Anne talking about sanctioned camping sites. The one on 100 Acre Wood, you know, Golf Links and Swan area, is not sanctioned, but it's quite large and has been there for a long time. And I recall reading in the news that it's going to be the area is designed to be a mountain biking park, and it's not being used that way because of the camping encampment that's there. So I just wonder, you know, the idea that we have a sanctioned camping on Grant, but this one's not sanctioned, and we know eventually it's going to be closed somehow. I don't know what's the status of that, and I don't know if it's appropriate to ask it now, but that's what occurs to me.
Sure, Alan, and I'll also see if Alice and Manisha want to jump in, but 100 acres is currently in process of being decommissioned as an encampment. So the continuum of care, so Tucson Pima collaboration to end homelessness, along with many community partners, have been out there 4 days a week since July. Air conditioned container. They've been out there repeatedly. They've already housed a bunch of folks. They're in process of housing more. And then by the end of the year, it will be fully closed as an encampment so that construction can start for the mountain bike park. So that has been, they've been very busy. There's many reasons why folks have felt like that's not a place that is suitable for an encampment. And so that is why, while we are creating one, that one is in process of being decommissioned.
Thank you, Diane.
Any
So, Anne, I
offers for
see you've
people that
come
are
up
there
here.
to get housing or some shelter or something?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's 4 days a week. Folks have been out there offering services, and the city has housed, TPCH has housed several folks, including a bunch are moving in this week, next week to the Amazon Permanent Supportive Housing.
All right. And Misty.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, everybody. I was having technical difficulties. I
No problem.
couldn't unmute. This is again back to the camping encampment. I'm just curious where Tucson is at with using faith groups. We had incredible success before when I was working in San Gabriel Valley, Los Angeles, with working together with faith groups to establish small camping opportunities for people, and it was one of our most successful programs in terms of getting people into housing. And so I was just curious if ever that has something that has been considered or looked at, because it's on private property, church lands, and it just worked really well for us. So just curious if that had ever been considered.
I'll jump in and say I would say there's a little bit of that happening, but I think there's a lot of room for growth there in terms of engaging more faith groups. And so, yeah, small examples here and there. And then, of course, there's the very large Gospel Rescue Mission, which is also a part of the ecosystem, as they have quite a large facility. But definitely room for improvement, I would say.
Great.
All right. So, yeah, so the idea here, so you've just heard recommendations from these three groups. So the idea is to turn these, perhaps other elements, whatever, right? This is the commission's recommendations to mayor and council. So maybe there's something that hasn't been necessarily been unearthed yet. But we have this work that the three subcommittees have done to develop these ideas and thoughts. And the question is, how do you package them? How do you put them together into a recommendation to mayor and council? What makes a good recommendation? What's going to get traction? Those are the kinds of things, at least, that go through my head. I think the challenge here, just as a facilitator, is that the information isn't necessarily on an apples to apples basis, right? So somehow that needs to be kind of figured out. What is the right level? How directive versus how broad? How much do you put into it? I already said directive, I'm not sure, but you get the idea. You know, what is it you prioritize these things? All those things are sort of part of this conversation, and it's not necessarily a linear kind of conversation, right? It's how do we do this? I think one last piece of information to sort of add to the bigger puzzle before working through that is just hearing from the city on really what makes a good recommendation to mayor and council. I don't know, Anne or Allison, if you, and I know we also have like the 2022 recommendations from the commission in the agenda packet as well, and a report card alongside that. So that's information's in there. But I wonder if there's any, if you guys want to add any of that to this conversation.
Okay.
Can you go first?
I think looking at the 2022 recommendation and report card could actually be helpful in this conversation, just because I think, right, in having that question posed, sort of going back and looking at that memo of recommendations was helpful. And a few things that sort of stood out to me there were that, there were five-ish kind of succinct, actionable recommendations that were specific. They didn't necessarily give timelines. They were still fairly broad, right? I don't think Mayor Council necessarily expects you all to design how something should be implemented, but at least be specific enough that it can be clear whether and how Mayor and Council will then take action on it. I just lost my train of thought on another part. I think what was also good in the 2022 recommendations was that they were linked to other mayor and council priorities. So they had a link in that recommendation to some of the housing affordability strategy for Tucson priorities. To kind of identifying for them what you guys had in common as high priorities. Yeah, I think succinct, actionable, and linked to mayor and council priorities would be mine, and let me share it again also weigh in.
Think that was well said. And I do think if you haven't had, because I don't think you had time to go over it last time, in your packet, there is the report card. I think it's pretty cool to see what you all recommended to mayor and council and sort of all of the things that have been done really. And sort of, I'll say every time these things went to mayor and council, the fact that it was a recommendation coming from you all, I think sincerely really held a fair bit of sway.
I think one thing after sort of we refined this a little more, or homework, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is mapping these like our updated recommendations to the Prosperity Initiative and the upcoming TPCH strategic plan, which it hasn't been finalized or adopted yet, but they've kind of narrowed their goals and objectives, and I think these mesh really nicely with a lot of those. And so I think that those could be the sort of like not necessarily shaping the recommendations, but helping to bolster or prioritize.
I didn't. So to what now? What strategic plan?
Tucson came a collaboration to end homelessness and this Prosperity Initiative.
I would add half to
I'm not going to
that.
say half. And
Just looking at some of them.
have to have an affordability strategy for Tucson.
All right. Any questions for Anne, Allison, Manisha?
Maybe just being new to the commission, a question I would have, but what are, and perhaps this conversation has taken place with this regard if it has, but like what other development or housing things are happening that could put pressure on some on this mission? And so what are the dynamics at play that would inform then why do we prioritize, what's the most compelling thing, including the cost? Anyway, just curious about that. the pressures that housing and development are facing in the context of Tucson and the county is that
our market and the reality.
And I'm going to take it kind of very literal. I feel like right now, given the increase in unsheltered homelessness that people see, I think there is, mayor and council do feel a pressure from trying to address the issues of crime, of cleanliness, of kind of overall appeal to Tucson. So I think taking your question very literally, I think that is a pressure that people are feeling.
It also looks like Anne Miskey has her hand raised online.
I don't know if it even needs to be said, but I think what we're seeing from HUD and the federal government is a huge issue right now with what's coming down from there, defunding, housing first, criminalization, all of those things. So funding to me becomes an essential piece of this alternative funding other than federal, because I don't think we're going to be counting a lot on federal funding going forward. So as I was listening to this, a great presentation, great points, I'm really, really excited and impressed with what I'm seeing. But it really hit me that we're talking kind of six major areas. And I'm wondering, again, haven't done this before and I'm new to Tucson, so forgive me. But when I was looking at the presentation, to me, there are six areas that we're talking about. Funding, which again, to me, is a big priority right now with everything that's going on in the country, and it'll affect the ability to do everything. Coordination of services, client-centered, outcome-driven services, prevention and diversion. I think diversion is a really important piece of this, and then increase the supply of housing and shelter. Came out as sort of the major categories in all of the presentations. So I'm just, I guess, wondering if looking at those and prioritizing under those main categories, a lot of this work, and I do apologize if this is redundant because I am coming into this new, but again, really excited with what I'm seeing. It's just how to synthesize it a little bit better is what I'm thinking.
And can you repeat your third and fifth one? So I got funding, coordination of services, prevention and diversion, but I missed the third one and the fifth one.
Okay, so that was client-centered, outcome-driven services, prevention and diversion, and increase the supply of housing and shelter. Affordable housing and shelter. Those were the main. I may have missed one, but that's kind of what I identified.
And do you think that what is in the recommendations in the packet, do you think that we could just basically take what's in here already more or less and just kind of put things under those five categories? Because I really like the idea of the category. So I'm just wondering if we're just talking about kind of arranging what we've got versus, you know, needing to have more, you know, go back to the draw, not back to the drawing board, but to come up with more things to put under those categories. Does that make sense?
You're talking to me, Anne? I know we have two
Anne's
here. Yes, I think so. Like when I was looking at this list, I mean, we could add 100 more things, but I think you've hit on all the major categories and major issues and can't take on, you know, too much. So it feels like everything we have here, we could put under and then really do prioritization. And again, my feeling is that funding has to be a priority because nothing else is going to happen if we don't bring in funds. So that's just my feeling. And then I know there's a lot going on already. I know the university, for example, is working on coordination and those kinds of things. So there are things that are already happening. And I think we could identify where things are already happening and where we need to do more. But I like keeping it simple. I don't think we need to add a lot, just from my perspective.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I've got a few thoughts here. One is I just wonder if maybe we can get an ad hoc group that is willing to actually draft the memo essentially to mayor and council. I mean, I think I could, you know, get a very rough draft together based on what, you know, is in the packet. And then, you know, Anne, I love your comments about, groupings. So anyway, just maybe we can get a, three or four people who are willing to kind of work on a draft. And then, I think that there are some things that are coming up for me as well. One is, again, and going back to what you were saying, part of this is kind of reworking, I think, what we already have, right? Like there are services available, but they're not coordinated. So obviously we'd love more money for that, but probably not going to happen. So that's rearranged. And same with like, people coming out of institutions, right? I mean, that's more of like rearranging or coordinating what we've got versus, expansion of services. So this kind of, and again, I don't know how this shows up in the draft, but the kind of tension between, moving things around that we already have versus expanding services, which I think, most of us are pretty pessimistic about at this point, due to the political climate. And then what else was I going to say? I guess the other thing too, just going back generally speaking to what's in the packet, the various recommendations, is there anything in the recommendations that we think we should just like get rid of that is like not, I don't know, is it pertinent or isn't, because if not, then we've obviously got a lot here to work with that we can put in a draft, but I just want to make sure that, that there's nothing in here that people are like, this shouldn't be in here or doesn't make sense or anything like that. If not, I kind of think, maybe where we can get to, again, I'm just thinking about, where we get to today, maybe, we agree to put what's in here into a memo of some sort, try and combine the things that are, obviously can be combined, go with the five categories, and get a group that's working on the draft. Because it sounds like maybe there's not actually a lot to talk about in terms of like the substance of the recommendations, if everybody seems to think they're okay.
But then, and then the third step would be bringing it back to the commission next meeting. So that would then be sort of, is this the right set of
I
recommendations
think
at
so.
that point? Okay.
That seems to make sense to me.
What do people think about that? I mean, then you could sort of right size it too, right? Once you have it sort of in that format, is this, it's appropriate?
I mean, I guess the other thing I would say is, I know Tisha's group talked about their recommendation kind of would have been the sanctioned camping. So that hasn't really been fleshed out, but obviously it was the thing we've talked about the most today. So I'm just wondering how we get that in here or if we do, or, kind of what that looks like. Because it's not in the recommendations in the packet, right? But obviously it's something that's getting people's attention.
So I have one other process question, sort of recommendation, but just thought about that. Would it make sense? So the idea right now, so we're taking just to kind of restate it, reframe it. So we have these five categories, as Anne had sort of mapped them out. You would form an ad hoc group, small group, to get together, package the recommendations from the three subcommittees underneath those in a way that makes sense underneath these five categories. So to make five essential recommendations with maybe sub-recommendations. There'd be some prioritization that'd be drafted into a memo to come back for the commission again to discuss, agree, approve. One other question I have is, would it make sense for this to go to city staff to just to take a look at and provide some feedback so that can be added to the conversation as well? And I see two hands. So why don't we start with Anne and then we'll go to Alan?
Just really quickly, I actually did forget one category, and I think is really important, and that's the PR, the public relations piece. I think that's a really important one that we shouldn't forget, so I missed that. And just a question, when this report goes, Are they looking for, or recommendations, sorry, when recommendations go, are they looking for some specifics under these? So, for example, if we say funding, here are five ideas we have to increase funding, or is that not something we want to include? I'm just not sure what the process is.
I think it, just personally, I think it could go either way. I mean, if we have ideas of funding, if in this example, why not include it? But, just thinking of the recommendations that we came up with, like lack of a coordinated system, I don't know how much more detail we could really give there. So I think to me, it would just seem like there's more information that we can provide or share than we might as well. But, some of them probably are going to be pretty broad, but it's just off the top of my head.
And Allison, any feedback on that from your guys?
I agree with you that, I think last time they were fairly broad, but I think if you have ideas or things that you think are worth considering, I think it can't hurt to include those.
Alan.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple comments to make. One is I agree with Anne's comment about PR, and the context I'm thinking of is last week there was a bike rider murdered on the loop path by the Walmart. Everybody's nodding their head; they know that. I looked. I'm very interested in that, both from the standpoint of the homelessness issues, but also as a cyclist. And on Facebook, there were just mountains of terrible comments about mayor and council and how dangerous this is, and a basic assumption among the people posting that these are all murderous, drug addicted, insane people, and it just is offensive to me that that's the public perception. But apparently, I can't say the public, but there's certainly the public that's posting in that Facebook group. That was every. There's nobody in there contesting those views. So I don't know how you change that. It may not be possible to change it, but I do agree that some public education needs to happen so that it's known that not everybody who's camping outside or living outside or without a house is automatically a dangerous person, automatically drug addicted, automatically mentally ill, because those things just aren't true. The other thing I wanted to comment on is in making recommendations. I have an interest in getting before mayor and council the idea of tenants' right to counsel. I've spoken about this before. And if we're making recommendations, I'd like to include that. I did have some brief email back and forth with Jay today, and our semi-game plan is to take this to a subcommittee later this month and then bring it to the full commission if the subcommittee agrees with it. I don't want to lose the chance to include those recommendations. That's why I'm raising it now, because I think it's something that's really important and something that would be really put Tucson on the map as being progressive and on top of this situation. And in terms of eviction prevention, there's no better tool to do that than having tenants' right to counsel. It's a huge funding problem. I don't have any notion of where the money would come from, because it's going to be millions of dollars to do it right. And doing it right is the only way to do it. So just wanted to put that as people's thinking to see if there's any interest in including that in recommendations when and if we ever make them.
Anybody want to comment on that?
Well, I was just going to say, obviously, Alan, we've been talking about this a little bit. I'll bet just with the timing, considering the next our next subcommittee meeting is the 21st, and we're going to be working on a draft here. I'll bet we can get that in to the draft for the next meeting. And if not, I think we can always do another memo that's another recommendation to mayor and council that's separate from what we're working on here. So, whether or not it shows up in this or a future memo, I think we can make one of those happen for sure. That's just my opinion.
As long as you don't lose track of it, that either of those works for me. If we get
Yeah.
it in on the next list of recommendations, that would be great.
Great. And Anne commented in the chat and Miski that she loved the idea of the tenants' right to counsel. Ray.
And this, anytime we're talking about tenants' rights to counsel, would also love to couple that with recommendations for changes to the state legislation around the eviction process, things that would be free and huge cost savings, like extending the time for eviction proceedings, that would lessen some of the need for the right to counsel. We spend so much public funds for a system that could cost so much less and do so much less harm with some policy changes.
Hey, Ray, is there any chance you'll be able to attend the next Equitable Housing Strategies Subcommittee meeting? And if not, could you give me some information about that that maybe we could include as well? Because, obviously, with what Alan's talking about and what you're talking about, those are, I think, pretty big additions. And if we're going to get them in this round of recommendations, we need to kind of move on it. But again, if not, I mean, if there are some other things like what Alan's talking about, what you're talking about, that we can, at least through the Equitable Housing Strategy Subcommittee, we can talk about it there and then move it up to the full commission. And, we can do recommendations from Mayor and Council every month of the year, every month of the year if we want to. So that would be great.
All right. Alan, is that a legacy hand or?
No, it's an actually current hand. Thank you for that. I just wanted to respond to what Ray said about legislation and legislative changes. It's a great idea. Personally, I'm limited in my ability to do that because of where I work. We're not allowed to lobby the legislature, so I have to be careful about not doing that. But if I'm asked, do I have ideas of what could be changed, then I'm able to answer questions. So it has to be couched in that sense. The political makeup of our legislature right now, it's really a, I wouldn't say it's a waste of time to ask and try to do these things, but it seems very much doomed to failure. But I don't mind working on it, and I have tons of ideas of how the Landlord-Tenant Act could be improved in terms of making it more balanced between landlords and tenants, because it's very landlord friendly now and very tenant unfriendly now.
Let me ask a quick process question. If you were to create an ad hoc committee, how does that happen in, within the commission?
You volunteer?
Wave the
For an open meeting, you should do a motion and make sure you don't get a quorum of the full commission. And sorry, but agenda, make sure that Rachel can work with you on getting the agenda posted.
Okay. So that can happen.
Yes.
So Luke, I guess the question is, are we ready? I mean, do people feel good about that? Is that something?
Are you saying like an ad hoc group to do the put the recommendations together?
Yeah, I thought that's what you said.
Well, I guess I was maybe thinking it would be a little less formal than that. Maybe I could get something started, and if there are folks who have anything to add or chime in, they can do so. Is that, I mean. I mean, if there are a couple of people who are like, I would like to review what I come up with, and I email it to them.
I think as long as you A, stay within this content,
Right.
and then B, you can email it out, but people can only, you can't discuss it as a group
Right.
via email, but if they write you comments, that could work.
That's what I was thinking.
Great.
I do like the categories, though. I think that would make it a lot easier.
I mean, we can do an ad hoc group, but then it's I'm just like then it's like we're getting core. I don't know. I just feel like
Yeah,
we
the
can do it like we
formality of
just
it
discussed.
is just something you have to navigate.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, what
something.
do people think? I mean, do we want to do it more formal or just kind of the way it was described? I'll put something together and do some emails direct back and forth, but not have a conversation. Does anybody have a preference?
Okay, it's fine to me. But to clarify, we would be discussing some of it in the subcommittees before coming back together to
I
finalize.
mean, we certainly can. Yeah.
Would that, So just to be devil's advocate on that, would and could that happen before the next? Because my sense is that we come back to the full commission. Would the, you, and we're talking about the memo that you'll be putting together, so full suite. So are you thinking that would then go to the subcommittees to discuss or back to full commission?
Back to full commission. I think Kenny was just saying, is it possible between now and the next committee meeting to discuss this further?
Right, because we were just talking about this, what Alan and Ray had suggested,
right.
Maybe we can, and working through that a little bit to incorporate into that draft.
Seems like all of the committees have October meetings, and then the
yep.
next commission would be in November, right?
Yep. Okay, so process.
Process wise, everything we have in this on there's the community agenda doesn't, since they're agendized, doesn't
That's,
violate.
But there, those will be, agenda, yeah, I think that will be
the fine. Because it's not, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if any of the subcommittees want to discuss this further, they should put it on their agenda
yeah.
for discussion. And that is our agenda, so it has been, so we should be good.
All right, so no longer an ad hoc group, informal group. Draft memo, use the six categories, goes to subcommittee for discussion, subcommittees, plural. Comes back to full commission for discussion.
Hopefully in November.
Hopefully in November. In November. And what about, sorry, I'm interjecting this, but you can ignore me. That's totally a valid response. Would be, what about getting folks from the city to provide feedback on it too?
Once we get a draft that we feel comfortable with, I think, yeah, we would run it by the city.
Very silly.
I have another question. So is it when we come back now at this point in November, that's where we would fine tune the language, the level of corrective and all that you had mentioned?
I think that's the plan. Yeah. So I think within your memo or somewhere within this, there's also this prioritization that sort of needs to happen. But yeah, it seems like the tweaking, fine tuning, and then the formalizing voting, is it vote? Is that the way you frame it? Voting, proving, would happen maybe in November, if not, perhaps the meeting after.
And I would suggest if folks would like to do a lot of fine tuning, prioritize, like really get into the nitty gritty of the memo, to do that when, you know, I send out the email like asking for feedback. I think that would be the best time. Obviously, we can do it in the meeting, but it'd be great, I think, to get that done before the November meeting so that we're not doing a lot of that in the big group. Obviously, we can do it. It'll be on the agenda, but love to have most of that.
So that's the ideal scenario, because by the time it comes back to full commission, it is in a pretty good spot.
Yep.
So I just want to read this comment by Ray. I love the idea of emailing it to the group. Individuals make comments. So that's, you know, noted that the task force subcommittee is already working on recommendations. All right. Any other thoughts, comments? Anybody want to put a stop to this? All right. I'm not seeing it. So how does this, like just within the commission, I'm not quite sure how this works. Is that our Are we good to stop there? Do you need to take any sort of pulse vote kind of thing, or is it?
I feel good. I feel like I can take this and get the ball rolling with a draft memo and get it out to folks for comment. And then unless there are other ideas or, you know, folks have other comments, we can move forward with that. I'm obviously happy to, you know, change things up or add if folks have ideas. But to me, this feels like a good place where we can stop if folks are at that point.
All right. Well, unless somebody wants to speak up, we'll go ahead and move on to the next agenda item. Again, just to recap where we left off, the Jay will initiate developing a memo of proposal recommendations following these six categories that Ann put forward. The process would be, then it goes out to individuals for comment. It has to stay within the confines of everything that's been discussed. It's really threading in recommendations already developed throughout the subcommittees, but perhaps a couple additions that we discuss here just now, which I've noted here. The subcommittees can then discuss them within their groups. At some point, city provides feedback as well. And then November, the ideal is that in November, the commission comes back together with a memo that's ready for discussion and potentially formal adoption.
Just a point of clarification, I think all the discussion has to happen in the sub. Like, I don't think there can be emails. Like, Jay can draft it and send it, and we can send it out to, or have it agendized as part of those subcommittee meetings, but not like a reply all situation. Or even I don't think we could do reply to Jay, because then for you, you'd be breaking form or something, right?
They can
reply to him directly.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay, so comments, to be clear, the comments can go directly to Jay, no reply alls. So
yeah, that's the part of like looking for you both,
yeah,
to like to have a forum. Okay.
So can we also make sure then that it's part of every subcommittee's agenda?
Yes.
I'm not even sure how that.
It's Rachel.
Well, I mean, if every subcommittee basically recycles their agenda from their past meetings in which we have been discussing this, everybody should be fine. It really is. Are the subcommittees going to add anything else that they want to talk about that's not this? Would be mine. Take.
All right. I think we're good. I'm seeing heads nod. All right. Taught that one to death. So yeah, and then one last point on this, and perhaps we don't need to really dig into this right now, but the next agenda item was really identifying the approach, present the recommendations to mayor and council. Perhaps that's, and really that's just, it was a question really to Anne and Allison of them lines. Like you have this set of recommendations, what happens or what format should it be in, or what's best? And I don't know if there's anything you want to add now, or we wait until November to have that conversation.
I would just say, and I think going on what worked really well last time, I think, you know, you sent the memo, and then if I recall correctly, you offered, and we ended up meeting directly with the mayor, and I think offered to meet with other council members.
Yeah.
And then you did come to a study, you know, and in that offered to do a study session presentation, and I think they took you up on that too. So I think I would say don't reinvent the wheel. That worked really well last time.
Yeah, agree.
Yep, that sounds great. Cool.
It will help on our end in terms of trying to schedule, etc., with the mayor and whomever.
All right. Any questions for Ann Allison? All right, cool. All right, so then the last agenda item here, which is kind of a big one, more than kind of, it is a big one. This is really the beginning of a conversation, perhaps not the end of it, is identifying a path forward for the commission. And there's really multiple angles we're thinking about for this conversation, as you'll soon see. But just to set up the kind of broader context here. So one is within the city, the folks supporting the commission and working with the commission, there's some staff transition there, there's some role transition. So wanted to kind of talk through that. And then also just talk about, I think particularly with those changes, but just given this, and I know Jay, this is sort of big on Jay's agenda for the commission, is like, really, what do commissioners want to do, and what's the best way for the commission to work? Like, what's the most effective model? And like, there's lots of potential conversations within that, right? Like, commission meetings, how to use the commission meetings to their optimal kind of structure and format. The subcommittees, what's the best approach for the subcommittees? Is the subcommittee approach the best approach? Is it working? And then the third one was really focus, like, you know, starting in March, which I learned that earlier, we started in March on homelessness, focusing on one topic, versus before that, there was sort of a more distributed, diffuse focus within the subcommittees. So really, that's kind of the broader sort of universe of thinking here. Again, not a linear conversation, but what makes sense and what's the most effective approach for the commission to move forward, thinking about all these elements of its structure and function. What do you want to add to that?
I think you covered it pretty well, but just to take it out a little bit farther, you know, and I think we've got three new members in the meeting today in terms of, you know, that have come on since we were have just been focusing on one issue. But, you know, when we started out as a commission, it was kind of like a fire hose, right? I mean, there was just, you know, lots of different presentations about lots of different things. Obviously, you know, housing is complex and there's a lot of stuff that needs attention. And so I think while it was great to get all of that information, I think at least I felt a little overwhelmed and it was hard to really focus in on any one thing and kind of get something done. I mean, I think Jim really did a great job of, you know, when he was chair, focusing us on affordable housing. We put a memo together. Obviously, as we've talked about, that was successful. But then, you know, what I proposed and what we've been doing is obviously we took on a single issue, which was homelessness, because we really wanted to focus on that. And surprisingly, you know, we have not had lots of presentations and, you know, things other than homelessness. So I felt like, you know, that was very much respected in terms of, you know, just how we've been operating and, you know, who's been presenting it and things like that. I think it's, I've appreciated working on a single issue, but I just wonder if, you know, we want to, you know, once we get this memo taken care of, if we want to pick another single issue and kind of work it like we have been, or if we want to, you know, zoom back out and just kind of have it be, you know, more general again and kind of get our bearings and maybe we work on a single issue, you know, sometime down the road next year. So there's that, right? Like, what do we kind of want? What do we want to do? You know, I also think about, like, you know, what's the best use of our time? Our time is limited. So how are we focusing the energy we do have to get some stuff done? So there's that. Then the other part, I think, again, Brian, you said this, but is really thinking about the subcommittees and, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, are they working? I mean, you know, the Housing First subcommittee has struggled always, I think, to meet quorum. They rarely meet. Affordable housing, I think, does a little bit better job.
Right. I don't think we have any members. I think it's Jim and me.
Right. And so to that point, which is another thing, we've got, you know, a couple of new members that have not been assigned to a subcommittee, which has been fine for the past couple of meetings, but that, you know, we're going to keep the subcommittees. Obviously, they need to be assigned. And then, you know, I was having a great luck for a long time getting quorum for the Equitable Housing Strategy Subcommittee, but over the past few months, it's been a struggle for us as well. So, you know, and I think those subcommittees, you know, are they still useful? Are they areas we want to focus on? I mean, you know, we shouldn't have subcommittees just to have them. I mean, that's kind of my, those are just kind of my broad and general thoughts about, you know, the homelessness stuff is going to take us through November. We're going to then be in December. So, you know, I'm thinking when we start 2026, what do we want to do? What do we, how do we want to come together and what do we want to do? So, that's kind of what I've been thinking about. Yeah.
All right. So why don't we start with sort of roles and responsibilities? And I know you guys have something with the document to share. As you do that, Rachel, how might the folks in line see this?
Great question.
I can email it to folks that are online.
Could also potentially share a screen.
I could share the screen too.
Do you want me to? I can send this out.
Yeah, I'll share this.
If you want to. You have to wear it back first.
Thank you.
Really, yes. Is everybody
online? I'll take one since there's extra. But I was just going to share a screen. I've seen it. So we'll be either way. Thank you.
This obviously assumes you have subcommittees, but it can be reworked if you decide to change that.
Can everyone online see it? I have the PDF on this screen.
I can see it.
Okay, perfect. It won't let me move it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Do you want to go over it?
Yeah, please do.
So this is a just right sort of a, the idea is this is a draft document to have a starting point for discussion. Kind of a general overview is right, we have starts with commission chairs, kind of general role, providing leadership structure and strategic direction for the commission. Things like working with staff on facilitation, agenda setting, coordination, accountability, representing the commission to folks like city council and community forums, conflict resolution, and maintaining regular communication with HDB staff. Commissioners, general members, as a general role, serving as informed, engaged, and representative voices of the community, contributing to equitable housing policy and recommendations to mayor and council. And so that includes things like meeting participation, policy input, subcommittee work. So like Anne said, this is sort of assuming current things working sort of as they currently are, and kind of our understanding of what the commission's desire has been is that everyone sort of does, is represented on one subcommittee. Community engagement, education and learning, so generally staying informed on what's going on in the city on housing issues, consensus building among other members, and maintaining ethical standards and conflict of interest rules, et cetera, et cetera. There's a subcommittee specific responsibilities section of sort of what each subcommittee kind of focuses on between Housing First, affordable housing, and equitable housing. And then often sort of another group that we have occasionally is sort of task forces or working groups for these ad hoc groups that work on smaller, you know, one-time asks rather than the subcommittees that meet regularly. And then thinking about housing staff, so we have a number of HCD staff that are sort of assigned to the commission. And what do they do? they provide technical, logistical, and policy support to the commission and subcommittees. Each subcommittee has a liaison from HCD staff that's an expert in that focus area and is tasked with providing that professional and technical needs as they arise in a meeting. So meeting support, policy guidance, project management, communications. Rachel is our president who makes sure all the meetings get recorded and posted and up on our YouTube page. And right, as we've been doing today, trying to ensure compliance and transparency with open meeting laws. So like I mentioned too, we do have a staff person from HCD that's also the liaison for each subcommittee at the moment, who's kind of doing that meeting coordination and technical assistance specifically to each subcommittee. So you have sort of the five of us at the moment, plus those three staff who don't regularly come to the commission meetings, but are those liaisons. Questions, reactions?
I did review this, but one thing I do want to add that I just thought of.
Yes.
Under housing staff, so the one thing, however you decide in terms of moving forward, the one request I would have and would commit to on our end is when there are particular items we're working on or PDSD is working on that really do relate to housing and or equitable development, I do think it's important that as this commission really was, many of you were picked by mayor and council, and so getting your all's feedback on city initiatives that are related to housing and community development. So however, whatever you decide to do moving forward, I just want to make sure we can present, like last meeting was the missing middle, really trying to hear from you all, you know, what do you think? Is it missing anything? Is there anything here that gives you concerns? So as the commission helps to shape things. So under responsibilities, I would say just like adding topical presentations for commission feedback.
So Brian, I don't know if you have kind of specific questions for discussion, but I'm curious if like what's working and
yeah, and I think this could also sort of blend also in with all of this conversation. Like I feel like this is foundational to also how everything is going to work. And just at least from my perspective, from an outsider looking in, you know, it's a relationship between the commission and the city, and how that works together is, you know, how everybody's time is used is in creating efficiencies and making sure everybody is on the same page is so important. So I think this is foundational to the next piece for a happy, efficient, effective commission, but also be utilizing the city's staff committed to this work effectively as well. So anyways, that's all I got. But any questions, comments before we sort of dive into how the commission wants to work moving forward?
Yeah, I would say all of this is working pretty well in the background that people aren't seeing it. I mean, obviously we see it a lot just coming to the meetings, but yeah, I think that's it. And it's great to have it written out like this. So I appreciate that. Yeah.
And I can make sure to email it to everyone after this meeting so we all have like a digital copy too and for folks online.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ann.
Thank you. I feel like I'm talking too much. So the question came up earlier about the committees. Now, I haven't been involved in one of the subcommittees and I'm available, would love to. But I was thinking of our previous conversation and, you know, do we move away from homelessness? But if you look at the categories we discussed, to me, they are so overarching, whether it's specifically homelessness or housing affordability or equity, all of those things. And I was kind of, again, my brain thinks in groups, and I was thinking it would be really interesting to move forward. And I'm not advocating for getting rid of the present committees because that would be presumptuous of me, but I was kind of thinking that there are three big areas here that feel like there's real opportunity that kind of incorporate all that's going into the report, the other categories. And one is really on the programmatic coordination side, could be one committee. So looking at prevention, diversion, coordination, those kinds of things. So the programmatic side, then definitely housing is obviously the issue. So having a specific housing committee, and I don't know the present committees, how they operate or whether they come together. And what really struck me, we talked about PR, but then we were also talking about tenants' rights to counsel. Somebody mentioned the policies. I think it would be really interesting to have a committee that actually was looking at kind of the education and policy side of things. and really looking at what are the policies that are happening right now. Again, we talked about eviction processes. Are there things that we could do, recommendations, have people come in to talk about what are some of those areas? So again, I'm thinking sort of grouping what we've been talking about, but it could be a little broader than just homelessness, but certainly gets into prevention, those kinds of things. So anyway, that was just something that kind of popped in my head as an idea.
Well, I actually think those three areas line up really well with the subcommittee that we have. So maybe that is an indication that we're, you know, on the right track and the subcommittees are important. So to me, the programmatic coordination seems like what Housing First at least partly would be doing. I mean, you know, I guess if I'm being honest, I don't totally understand what, you know, Housing First, that subcommittee was kind of working towards. So there's that one. And then there's the Affordable Housing Subcommittee. I think that's what it's called. And then the third one is Equitable Housing Strategies. And, you know, we're certainly looking at kind of policy and, you know, obviously equitable strategies. So I think the education and policy piece can also fall pretty neatly into the equitable housing strategies. And obviously, depending on what kind of policy or policy frameworks we're talking about, it could, you know, that could go under kind of any subcommittee. But I appreciate and that there are three programmatic areas, and at least when you were saying them, it was just like, oh, well, that's pretty close. At least it feels like so, for whatever that's worth.
Just an FYI too, I have the slide. I have the commission's mission and goals, and I have the subcommittee goals of the three subcommittees. So I can always pull those up if that would be helpful.
That'd be great.
Can I?
Oh yeah.
Oh. I was kind of thinking the same thing. It, out of the six categories, you know, once we make the recommendation, it seems like our role mostly is like continue to support and follow up on those. And then thinking about whether it's as the commission as a whole or subcommittees that kind of thing, it feels like to me our biggest like opportunity might be in that PR or the educational part of it and connecting with our communities in different ways. Because, you know, it's like evolution of the recommendations, right? We're saying we need funding, we'll continue to support that, get updates on it, you know, and all that good stuff. And then, you know, what can we be doing to complement and help encourage or build support for the things that we recommend to? So I could see the structure going in either way, but out of the categories, it seemed like what we might be able to do the most actively is kind of in that PR kind of public education piece.
And I don't know, I just want to point this out. I don't know if that's the role of the commission, if you're thinking in the role of the commission or as in your role as commissioners. Just wanted to point out that there are some pieces within the roles and responsibilities document, like community engagement, act as liaisons to the community, education and learning. So there's some overlap there too. I just wanted to point out. Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, Kenny, if kind of what you're saying is maybe the overarching thing that the commission as a whole does next is kind of educating the community, connecting and supporting the things that we've kind of already put out there. And then that maybe that would filter down, the subcommittees would take on roles to do that, or?
I think structurally, I'm agnostic. It just seems to me like, yeah, once we recommend that we should permanently fund the Housing Trust Fund, seems like to encourage that, if the step would be to, you know, make sure people know about it or, you know, hear concerns and, again, just share information or engage people. We talk a lot about, like, kind of the really negative perception people have about that. And I feel like, you know, we can be doing a lot more to humanize what's going on and think of strategies to do that or ways we might talk about what's happening with our professional work that can bring them. But just where my brain is with the evolution might look.
I think it would be cool to do that and also maybe open back up just as a commission at our monthly meetings to like kind of more general topics as well, that just kind of, again, understand what's going on. But I love the idea of like educating and connecting. I think this could be good. I also am just thinking about, you know, chairing a subcommittee before we were doing, really focusing on homelessness. I think it was always a challenge for us to, as the, you know, looking at equitable housing strategies. And before that, you know, we were, you know, looking at desegregation. But, you know, in the context of the full commission, like, what is it that we were really trying to do? It was hard to figure out, like, of all the things, how do we, you know, channel our attention into something that was bringing back to the full commission? So, you know, again, giving, and I think what was good about, what I appreciated about focusing on something in particular and then having each subcommittee take on a piece of homelessness is that, you know, we knew for 6 months or 8 months or whatever, we were going to be working on, at least for our subcommittee, homelessness prevention. So, you know, it gave us something in particular to focus in and to actually accomplish, as opposed to trying to figure out in this huge sea of, you know, housing equity, like what, meeting once a month, what do we do? So again, I'm just thinking about how do we make sure that the subcommittees are engaged and that the, you know, the commission is engaged and feels like it's got direction and is an action. And I think, Kenny, what you're talking about is there's a lot of action that can be done and that can focus us, I think, talking about education and whatnot.
I do want to pose a question, and this is sort of the nonlinear, you know, nature of this conversation, but to bring the subcommittees to light, not the content of the subcommittees, but the function and structure of the subcommittees. Is it working for you? That's the big question I have. And because I hear, you know, this discussion is, yeah, maybe the subcommittees can do this, but I also hear like, yeah, we just are having a hard time getting them moving. If that's the case, then obviously my mind goes to, well, why is that? Is it just really hard to do? I mean, we have to be realistic, commissioners. This is a, you know, not your day job, right? It takes time and energy and effort. But yeah, is it the content and the topics of the subcommittee? You know, one, how is it working? Is it okay? Is it not okay? Could it be better? And then the second part two then is, well, if it's not working, then why is it? And is this a model that can keep sustaining itself or do change? Yeah.
Well, I think I do like the idea, and I'm not, you know, I'm affordable home ownership. The homelessness was for me like, oh, but it actually forced us to have these very specific conversations, and then I learned a lot more. And I think that in our specific committee, it really kind of focused us versus having these, it's overwhelming. There's a lot. So I do like the idea of maybe focusing on a specific topic. I think it would actually help our subcommittees to focus on topics and just makes it easier. So I think it's like broad. Also gives us an opportunity to learn something that maybe we didn't,
So a single point of focus I'm hearing now from two people is feels like a better, it's energizing, it helps you really begin the topics. Okay. Others, anybody else want to add for this?
I think one of the things, I think the structural question I have is, it sounds like, or my impression has been that there have been struggles with meeting quorum, or having, you know, to reschedule, things like that. And that, I mean, on the staff side gets difficult because sometimes we do have presentations from other staff and things like that, that, you know, take a while to logistically to manage. And so I think I think having new commissioners should kind of help with some of that. But I also just kind of have observed that feels like a tension before every meeting of like, are we going to make quorum? And then when a meeting is canceled, what happens to that content and that availability of that presenter and all those other kind of things that follow from meeting getting canceled?
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with that. You know, maybe one of the things we should just be doing a better job of is you know, a quorum check 2 weeks out. I mean, because like today, I mean, there were people that were an hour before the meeting were like, I can't come. I mean, that's a thing. So I mean, part of it is I just think people on the commission need to take responsibility and show up. I'll just say that. I'm like, if you can't, then you know, drop off, to put it bluntly. But any commission like this that I've ever been on, this is one of the better ones in terms of people showing up. So, you know, I do think that these kinds of commissions are always struggling for quorum and for people showing up. So it kind of is what it is. So I do think that like showing up piece and the quorum, I don't know. I obviously have my opinions about it, but I think it's always going to be pretty hard. I don't know what to do about that exactly. But then I do think, again, like I was saying before, you know, for me, part of what was challenge, what has been challenging at times about, you know, leading a subcommittee and frankly the commission is just the process piece, right? Of like, what is it that we're doing? How do we do what we need to do in the subcommittee? How are we both? You know, that's just a process piece that I think we're, you know, tuning into more and more, obviously having Brian and his team. But, you know, again, I just will put a plug in for going forward. If we are going to actually get stuff done, having facilitators is going to be huge. And I know that there's not always money for it, and you know, there it is what it is. But, you know, any group like this that's actually going to get stuff done, having, and even it doesn't obviously need to be every meeting or every, but like, you know, having that available to us, I think has really helped us, particularly with this homelessness stuff, to be effective. So, yeah, process is always just critically important. But, you know, I mean, again, we're fine-tuning and we have been getting better and better with the process, apart from, you know, having outside facilitators as well. So.
I sort of thought I'm having in real time, and I haven't been involved with the commission long enough to know like what impact this might have, is if one of the things could be that sort of, I think in some ways this is what happens, but there could be some structural changes that could make things better, is if the subcommittees are really that space where you kind of have that space to do hash out your homework between main commission meetings. But those presentations, like Keith Bentley or Brandy Champion or other folks we've had come in sometimes to subcommittees, if those are reserved for the monthly commission meetings, because one, I think sometimes there's a benefit to everybody hearing that information. And two, then it's like, we know, I think as staff, like when we're trying to coordinate with outside folks, it's that's we're just focused on the main commission meeting versus subcommittee, it's the staff liaison that really needs to maybe make those connections with those other, you know, folks to make sure that on our end we're well prepared, but not having to have an outside presentation. But I'm not sure what that impact would be, so I'm definitely relying on other people to.
One just clarify, I appreciate that, Manisha, and one clarity: when you all first started the subcommittee, just as a reminder, you don't have to be on the commission for folks to come to those subcommittees. So if there's a particular topic area that you know somebody who's just really interested and wants to participate, fortunately, they don't count towards quorum. But I do think that's an opportunity if you're doing this homework, sort of bringing fresh ideas into. Okay.
I'll just go back to, I think I really like what Kenny was saying about, you know, phase two of this work is really about, you know, education, getting the community excited about that. I was part of the climate change committee, and that was one of the most exciting things. And the best way to build this shared capacity was to have, to your point, that shared space where we could have people come in or us have conversations around. So now, how do we engage around this? What is our strategy to really get folks excited about what's coming out of this? If we're interested in funding, if we're interested in these other things, and it was just a really energizing space. So I really like that focus. I think that would be That'd be great. And having that space for us together to figure that out.
Yeah. So Robert, 2 points. I just want to make sure I got these right. So one is sort of the education outreach component. Two is the shared space.
Yes. Yeah.
To go back to meeting attendance and quorum too, I wonder too if we can take some time at the November meeting to discuss this a little bit more in depth too, but I was thinking for like scheduling for the year ahead too, just listing out all the next commission meetings that are coming, like since they all meet like on like the same schedule, just listing those all out and just making sure like we can identify, like for today's meeting, it fell on Yom Kippur and therefore some folks weren't able to join us today. So just thinking we can identify, okay, here's our meetings for the year ahead. And then I'm even thinking like a system, like we could have holds on calendars for these meeting dates, but then even like after the next commission meeting, we just put another meeting on that calendar to cover over that hold and to just have everyone either accept it or like reject it. And then we can keep track of quorum that way maybe, but happy to have some time next month to go a little bit more in depth on that.
I'm on the planning commission, and one of the things that they do is there's just like the master doodle poll, and it's like here are all of the meeting dates, and there's we'll get an email reminder every so often like, hey, we've got a meeting coming up. If you can't be here, let me know. But also, please go and update the doodle poll so you know everybody can go to that and see when the meetings are going to be, and the reminders are helpful to be like, oh yeah, okay, and then I'll go and look the next 3 months and. You know, kind of plan out that way. So it was just another little tool, a kind of obvious tool that has worked pretty well on top of all the other kind of reminder things that happen.
And Zoom should be able to do that too. I can make sure in the Zoom meetings that y'all are getting notified. Like, I think I have it 24 hours, but I can make it like a week in advance too, yeah. Just so we're all on top of it.
I also like the in-person meetings. I think that we need to throw more of those in.
That makes it really hard for folks that start work at 8, 7:30. It's really hard for me to make in-person meetings. I realize it's not going to work for everybody, but I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. Well, always, I guess hybrid then.
I do think, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. I do think we need to have more in-person meetings, but it just makes it so much easier if you can, if they're not all in-person or there's the hybrid. But I do think, you know, the energy that we have been able to generate over the past few meetings, meeting in person has been important. So I do think we need to have an ongoing discussion about that. And I mean, honestly, this is probably the best, I hate hybrid meetings generally. I think, you know, people are not able to participate online versus, but like, I think this is the exception really with the OWL. I feel like people online are able to participate well, so.
I have a functional question on the subcommittees. How is the quorum number established? Is it a percentage of the number of committee members or is it just a set number?
It's in code, and my understanding that we will confirm. It's a minimum of 3 as quorum, and it's part of the city code. So you can't have more than 7. You can have 7 or more, but you have to have at least 3 for a subcommittee.
To make it 3 members total for a subcommittee, so quorum would be 2.
So I think you have to have 3 total. So then if you had 5, so I think
the minimum
that works. Exactly.
I'm just wondering if you, this is just going through my head, if you have 2 subcommittees of larger numbers, is it easier to make quorum than 3 smaller subcommittees?
Yeah, because if you have a subcommittee of 3, then all the subcommittee members have to be there to be quorum, is what you're saying.
100% participation.
That's a bigger question, but it is sort of structural.
You were saying in the subcommittees, like people not on commission could participate. Did that mean like outside of the public comment period or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's up to the chair, but you know, at first there were more folks coming from the outside, and technically the chair of that subcommittee can recognize them basically as members, they just can't vote.
And Misty has a comment.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Just another clarification. If you don't have quorum, does that mean you cannot hold the meeting, or does that simply mean you cannot vote or put anything forward? So could you still have a conversation, or does it mean no, you can't have the meeting at all?
The latter, unfortunately. You
okay.
can't just as of open meeting, you can't have the meeting.
Okay, thank you.
So if anybody wants to see these, I have, you know, these subcommittee goals up here. Let me know if you want me to go slow or stop that one. But,
and we'll confirm for next time. It's been a while since I've looked at the code related to subcommittees.
All right. Well, what about, so, I mean, I think what we've heard so far is more single topic, more focus, a desire or a thought of this function of more outreach based now, engaging the public, being a liaison to the public, sort of that function for the commission. I mean, I'm hearing continued support to maintain the subcommittees in some way, some form or fashion. Commission meetings, perhaps more in person, noting that it is not easy for everybody to get to in-person meetings. So perhaps a hybrid model or some mix of hybrid and pure virtual, but more, seems like more. I would also note, I mean, I only participated in the one mini retreat, but the retreat had a ton of energy in it. But that's what I'm hearing so far. I mean, how do you feel about that? And where do we go with that? Where do you go with that?
My thoughts are, you know, next month we're going to talk about the draft recommendations. And I mean, I almost think we should just kind of keep the same agenda, right? Have the first half about the recommendations and then the second half about this conversation. And we've got stuff to build on, right? We've got, you know, this kind of education and supporting piece. You know, maybe folks will have more ideas of things to focus on, and we can kind of, you know, there are more ideas. We can kind of figure out where we want to go. And the other thing, I mean, I guess I don't know if the commission wants to do this as a whole, but I do think that I would like to see, you know, maybe if it's just even the first few months of the year where we have more kind of broad meetings or open meetings so that we're, you know, able to discuss this stuff, get some presentations from, you know, kind of what's going on in the city. And mm-hmm. that might also inform,
yeah.
you know, kind of where we want to put our energy. But it does seem like focusing on something, whether that's, you know, starting January of 2026 or we start in April, but having, you know, coming back to a focus area seems like, you know, there's support for that, and that, you know, it solves some of the issues that we had before. So that's what I'm hearing, and I don't know if that tracks for folks, but
I support that, kind of having a clear topic area, but also being open so we're still taking information and just changing that balance a little bit. And then I was wondering for the in-person hybrid meetings, you know, it seems like we're working towards recommendations by the end of the year. So if some of the, we could plan out in the head, which will be in person if we kind of know whether it's, we're going to be deliberating a little more closely to develop those recommendations.
Right.
Or if it's just like once during the quarters, except for, you know, someone.
Right. Because, I mean, the meetings that are, I think, probably pretty good for, you know, all virtual is, you know, there's a meeting where it's like, you know, mostly presentations and, you know, but I think you're right, the deliberation part is better, much better in person.
sort of like the idea too of like if we're looking at setting dates a year out, then like this comes out at a specific time, or like, you know, there's things that you can kind of predict, or right. to your point, like maybe front load the beginning of the year with more presentations, knowing that that'll build the foundation for a year or something like that.
Alan. Hey, Alan.
Yes, trying to unmute. Thank you. I just on for the hybrid thing, I'm doing it today on the online version, and it's very cumbersome. I don't really like it. Having everybody be in a Zoom is great. Having everybody be in one place is great. The hybrid thing is, you know, poor substitute.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Although it seems like the technology is working.
Much better than some hybrids we've had.
Yeah. I think at HCD or whatever, it sends them up over. I think we've always had issues here.
Alan, I'm wondering what, or anybody online, like what's your least favorite thing about hybrid? Like what's not working? Are you able to hear
it's not
things?
Working. It's just not... occasionally the screens are freezing. I'm not sure if it's my connection or yours. I have no idea, but it does that. And then it's got this camera that's panning around, and sometimes it finds a speaker, but sometimes I have no idea who's speaking. And that's not very useful. So those are two kind of objections, I guess.
Good ones. Yeah, Mike.
And I think Rachel and I kind of texted a little bit about this earlier during this meeting. I have learned my experience with other meetings is generally depending on what devices you're using depends on the quality of your meeting. For example, my question to Rachel is exactly who's the manufacturer and which model of camera are we using right now?
No.
Yeah, right now we have it's called like an owl, like owl lens. It's like a 360 style camera. So I think it's just like automatically doing us in like the Brady Bunch tiles as we're talking. Yes.
Yeah, and that's my question as to why this owl, because I've experienced the owl before, but like you said, it is randomly picking up some shots, and I'm like, why is it doing that? It's, you know, it's so it, maybe having the better devices, as we all know from experience, would be helpful. It could cost money, but better devices would probably help. Yeah.
Just a note, and we'll get to you and next. Just Bob wrote, the audio is often bad, but not at Primavera, which is great. Sophia's hopping off. So, Anne, over to you.
I just want to say kudos to staff and presenters because actually I was really worried. I wasn't feeling well today, and I don't want to infect anybody because I don't like having hybrid meetings at all. I like to be there in person. But I did feel that this went actually really well today, for me at least. The only thing, small recommendation, and I know it's hard, we all forget, but because of this weird camera and you don't know who's speaking, if we could all get into the habit of saying, hi, it's so-and-so at the beginning of when you speak, because it is hard here not knowing who it is that's talking at any given moment. So that would be my only suggestion. But I think having scheduled in-person meetings or all one, all the other, but not hybrid. Yeah.
A good facilitator will help that. So maybe we'll call that out. So Jay, we're almost at time. How do you,
yes. Can I just make two announcements before you adjourn?
Absolutely.
And this is just because there are two things are happening between now and your next meeting that I feel like the commission should be aware of. One is, I know this has been a topic amongst the commission. I do think the mayor and council will be talking about potentially having a housing declaration, potentially housing emergency declaration, second meeting in October. So if that is something you are interested in, happy to, you know, if you have questions, let us know. And So that would be October 21st. And then before that, HCD is hosting a neighborhood meeting of several neighborhoods. And so it's a public meeting related to a new housing project we are working on. And so the neighborhoods who got mailers are Dunbar Spring, Barrio Anita, and El Presidio neighborhoods. And so that meeting is Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. at the Tucson Museum of Art.
I think we got one to Menlo Park.
Not for this one, hopefully.
It's not one within a quarter mile of the site,
okay.
But.
Okay.
So yeah, I know we'll be happy.
But yeah, I'm happy to email out to this group too, just information about the October 21st meeting and then the information about the October 11th meeting for those sites.
Yeah.
So you all have some more information.
Thank you.
Okay, we are at 6 o'clock. I think we've obviously talked about the path forward for CEHD. We've got some next steps, and moving on to wrap up the next steps. You'll see that the next commission meeting is November 6th from 4 to 6. That is, at least at this point, virtual. And then the subcommittees are scheduled for October as well. I know Equitable Housing Strategies, we will definitely be meeting. I don't know about the other subcommittees. And then there are other updates as well. Any final updates or comments before we go? Going once, going twice. Okay, we're adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, I think Anne had something.
Oh, no. I was just waving goodbye. Thank you, everybody.
Sorry.
Yeah, just bye.
I
talked enough.
I know the camera's there.